Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around tonight. We'll have your blood pressure up in about 15 seconds. Oh, my God! The center does not hold. Things are breaking into big chunks. Yikes, what a weekend, huh? Kathy and I took Molly and we drove into the mountains in Georgia on Saturday to look at the beautiful leaves. We were very close to the Georgia-North Carolina border where the drought that is eating the state of Georgia and especially Atlanta has not occurred yet. Consequently, there was beautiful fall color. And so we found a cabin for rent up there and spent the night. And then Sunday went to a bunch of waterfalls. North Georgia mountains are replete with waterfalls all over the place. Beautiful. Had a great time. And for so much of the trip on Saturday and Sunday, we were out of range for Sirius satellite radio. It kept showing up on our radio dial, no signal available because we were in the mountains. But we finally pulled up to what is called Brasstown Bald. It is the highest spot in Georgia. It's just under 5,000 feet above sea level. And there's a parking lot up there. And once we got to the parking lot to make the last half-mile trek on foot up to the top of this mountain, we were able to pick up Sirius satellite radio. And they were talking about the state of emergency in Pakistan and the seizure of total power by Musharraf and the surrounding of the Supreme Court. And I'm laughing so I don't cry. And the violence and the heads being busted. So then we switched over to the audio portion, also on Sirius, of CNN. And listened for about 10 minutes because Molly was still asleep in the back of the car, you know, strapped in with her head lolling off to the side. So we sat there, Kathy and I, waiting for Molly to wake up so we could climb the rest of the way up this mountain and listen to this barrage coming out of the radio. Bush's good friend? The one who, not more than 2 or 3 months ago, Bush was talking about as a great defender of democracy. Oh, God. And again, I'm not giggling and laughing because this is funny. This is incredibly serious stuff. So we'll be talking a little bit about that this evening, and we have some sound bites for you. I want you to hear what Too Much Cappuccino Perino had to say about it, and also what Bush himself had to say about it. While he was sitting there, was it today, with the president of Turkey? Was the president, Kathy, or the prime minister of Turkey? Prime minister? So Molly finally woke up, and we climbed the last half mile up the mountain, and she collected a lot of bright red leaves. Sometimes I wonder, I used to collect fall leaves, autumn leaves with my mother when I was a kid. And I wonder if when she and I used to go leaf collecting or take walks in the woods around Toledo, Ohio, if my mother, and I never asked her this before she died, I guess I should have asked her this, if she ever looked at me, little Mikey, and thought to herself, I shudder to think the kind of world you're going to grow up in, because now there's this horrible thing called nuclear weapons and this horrible emerging force out of the East called the Soviet Union. And oh my God, you know, I just wonder if she ever thought that. If she did, she didn't say too much about it. About a decade later, when we had the duck and cover drills and the worry about nuclear bombs falling on Toledo, Ohio, she just seemed to continue to work as a waitress because that's what she had to do to support us. The reason I wonder about that is because I wonder about, I watch Molly collecting bright red maple leaves 5,000 feet above sea level in the Georgia mountains. And I just wonder, you know, she's so full of wonderment, like any kid. I mean, your kid, your niece, your nephew, all kids. You know, you take a three-year-old and turn him loose on a crisp fall day, and it was crisp in the mountains. It was 40 degrees. Turn him loose and watch him run up. The very top of Brasstown Bald is an observation post run by the U.S. Forest Service. And from the distance, from miles away down in the valleys, it looks like a castle. So we had told her, we had told Molly, let's go up to the castle. Maybe there'll be a dragon. And interestingly, when we got up there, there's an exhibition hall that is all about things Georgian. And one of the legends of the Native Americans who used to live in that area was about a monster that soared through the heavens that looked, by God, like a dragon. And there was a big picture of it. And so when Molly was, when we got there, Molly was, that part was satisfied. Daddy wasn't kidding. And what made the dragon go away was a huge eagle. Or was it a vulture? I think it was a vulture. A huge vulture that made the dragon go away. But what do you do when you're out like that with a kid, with a three-year-old, and she's just so full of life, full of wonderment? From that observation tower, you can see four states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. It's a beautiful fall day. Oh, my God. Except for the fact that, you know, we don't have any rain here anymore. It just stopped raining. But it was a gorgeous day. But, you know, when you watch your three-year-old child or grandchild or niece or nephew or whomever, or when you used to, I don't know, you know, my time with three-year-olds was a long time ago till Molly came along. But when you watch them doing those things, picking up leaves and pieces of wood and look, Daddy, there's a what does she call it, a seagull, and she's actually looking at a turkey vulture or something flying those huge lazy circles up in the mountains, you know, the huge birds just floating on those updrafts. And you know, a little kid full of wonder at everything, just totally fixated on it. And you, the adult, holding her hand, coming down that mountain, and you know that right then, that moment, on CNN, courtesy of Sirius Satellite Radio, they're talking about state of emergency in a country that has anywhere from 30 to 100 nuclear weapons, run by a military dictator that is a great and good friend of the dictator in this country. And you try to set it aside, right? You just set it aside. That's what we did. To hell with it. Turn off the radio. Switch over to serious classical music. Let's listen to Vivaldi. Let's listen to Beethoven. Let's listen to something other than the droning on and on and on about the violence and the bloodshed and the suspension of civil rights and the imprisonment of people in the country run by our great and good ally, the military dictator, Pervez Musharraf. Son of a bitch. Stick around. The program begins right after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
If you're tired of people dying, come on. If you're tired of the fighting, come on. No more wars, no more lying, come on. All my people in the world, come on. Every boy, every girl, come on. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on. Come on, let's go.
Someday, yes, we'll put it together and we'll get it all done.
Someday,
the world is much brighter.
Beautiful,
yeah.
When the world is much brighter. You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
About 21 past the hour, Robin in Richmond, Virginia points out there are just scores of local elections tomorrow. Maybe not necessarily in your state, but if there are elections, as Robin writes, please go vote. Even if all you care about is national affairs, go vote. Even local votes send a message. Yeah, that's tomorrow is the 6th, and tomorrow is Do Nothing Day, and we took a poll a couple of weeks ago. It was overwhelming that I should be on this program tomorrow rather than not be here. So that's exactly what we're going to do. If you are supporting this National Day of Doing Nothing, at least do go vote in whatever local elections are available to you. I don't have to tell you that. I'm just saying, you know. I don't think the people who are organizing the Do Nothing event tomorrow would want you not to vote. Bush was working last Friday. He vetoed a bill that would have authorized $23 billion to be spent for water resource projects. Now, here's a fact. The Great Lakes are draining. Lakes around the country are draining. They are not being replenished to the degree that is necessary. Groundwater is being totally contaminated. It's not apocalyptic yet. It can still be dealt with if something is done quickly. I think what Bush and the rest of these rat bastards are waiting for is for somebody to suggest the privatization of water, which is what's going on in various parts of the planet right now, by the companies, a notable number of whom are located here in the United States, most of them private equity groups, which means they're not answerable to anyone, and once they take over a nation or a county or a state's water supply, they can dictate the terms of delivering that water. So here was $23 billion, which represents, how much, Kathy, is that... What is Iraq running us? $2 billion a week or something? I don't know. Christ, I lose track of all this. But $23 billion for water resource projects, and he has vetoed it, calling it overly expensive. Overly expensive. Now, Democrats have pledged to override the veto. The bill did pass with... both houses with more than two-thirds majorities that are needed to override. We'll see what happens. Usually Republicans, when it comes to a showdown, they will back this dictator, rat bastard, at the cost to their own constituents, rather than admit that the Republican Party is psychotic and that Bush is totally out of control. So we'll see what happens when they try to override. But it's called the Water Resources Development Act. It would authorize $3.5 billion for hurricane-ravaged Louisiana. You remember that, don't you? What was that, 2.5 years ago? Over 2 years ago? $3.5 billion for Louisiana. $2 billion for efforts to save the Everglades. The Everglades. Oh, my God. And additional sums for a host of other projects that are favored by all these local lawmakers. Now, critics call this, pork-saturated bills, and maybe it is. But they're talking about water resources here. Water resources. Unless you're living in an area that is really facing a critical situation, like the desert Southwest or certain areas of California or here in certain areas of the Southeast, where these if you are observing what's going on to the Great Lakes, especially Lake Superior and the lesser of the Great Lakes, this dropping of the level in the Great Lakes, for God's sake. I mean, now a lot of people say, well, don't worry about it, Malloy, because global warming is going to cause this tremendous ice melt and all this fresh water is going to, oh, please, don't. I mean, don't even insult my intelligence with that. We are in a world of hurt here, True Seekers. We've got to have some leadership pretty quickly. $23 billion for water resource projects, and Bush vetoed it, saying it was the bill lacked fiscal discipline. That's what he said. Now, he's now cast five vetoes as president, four in the past 11 months since Democrats took control of Congress. None has been overridden. But as I said, this one passed both houses, this Water Resources Development Act, with more than two-thirds majorities that would be needed to override. We'll see what happens. But he said, quote, this authorization bill makes promises to local communities that the Congress does not have a track record of keeping. That's what Bush said. The House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, Maryland, promised a swift override vote scheduled for tomorrow. A lot of things happening tomorrow. Tomorrow is Kucinich's, we'll talk about that coming back. So, here you have Bush. Not only is this son of a bitch out of control where it concerns his warmongering ways, but on a water resources bill that is desperately needed in this country, he says, no, it's not fiscally responsible. Like, for example, his wars?
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Where was I? Well, let's move on. I have no idea where I was. The House Judiciary Committee has filed paperwork for a criminal contempt resolution, not citation, but resolution against Harriet Myers and former White House counsel Josh Bolton, the White House chief of staff. Now, filing the papers doesn't mean necessarily that there's going to be contempt votes on Myers and Bolton, but these resolutions have to be filed with Lorraine Miller, who is the House clerk, before any floor vote takes place. So that'll be the next event to occur, where the Republicans will go out of their way to make sure the criminality of the Bush thugs continues. This occurred back in July. If you remember, the Judiciary Committee passed contempt resolutions against both Myers and Bolton because they failed to respond to subpoenas issued by the committee as part of the investigation into firing all those U.S. attorneys last year. And Bush, of course, cited executive privilege. He refused to allow either one of these jackasses to testify before the panel, or make Bush also refused to make certain internal White House documents available to the investigators. So, the committee did not, until today, file the actual contempt resolutions with the clerk of the House, Lorraine Miller. John Conyers, who is the Judiciary Committee chairman, is also expected, I believe he did, send another letter to the White House counsel, Fred Fielding. This will be the ninth letter that Conyers has sent urging Fielding to negotiate over the subpoenas. And, of course, the letters are just absolutely ignored. Now, today, Spinderella, too much cappuccino perino, just to show how nasty and sarcastic this Valley girl can be when denied her third triple espresso shot non-fat low-foam mocha latte of the day. A reporter asked about Attorneygate and these investigations into Gonzo's criminal justice department by John Conyers and these subpoenas. The reporter said, Dana, Chairman Conyers has now written saying that the contempt issue in terms of the prosecutor firings and the testimony that the Hill is looking for is coming to a head. The clerk of the House has received these documents. Is there any change in that, or is the administration still insisting that there would be no testimony and not even interviewing under oath, on the record, transcribed?
I'm just amazed that the Democrats actually think they've accomplished so much on behalf of the American people that they can now waste time again on another diversion. Last week they was the first that they had appointed conferees to the labor HHS bill. That's the first bill they've even appropriations bill they've even appointed conferees to, and it must have just been exhausting for them because now they decided they can move on to this, you know, taking us backwards to where we were. If the House Democrats were actually serious about getting information from us, they could have taken us up on the offer that we provided initially, which is interviews with senior staff that they asked to interview. They decided not to take us up on that offer. We have turned over thousands of pages of documents. Many people have testified, hundreds of hours of testimony on this issue regarding U.S. attorneys. And so while they fail to pass legislation that's important to the American people, they move forward with this contempt citation. I don't know if they'll actually have a vote on the House floor or not. If they do, I guess we'll just take it from there. But it's been very clear that this is a futile attempt on their part because they know that it won't go anywhere.
You're still refusing to supply anybody to testify where that, to discuss these matters where that will be transcribed.
There was an offer on the table for them to get exactly that, and they turned us down.
Not with transcription.
Not with transcription, but they could have had all the information that they sought, but they chose not to.
Oh, Jesus God! You know she's not funny anymore, is she? Huh? I used to have violence fantasies about Scott McClellan because of the impenetrable wall of idiocy and supposed ignorance, some of which was probably not supposed, that behind which he used to hide at every press conference. All those feelings are being shifted now to Dana Perino, violence fantasies. And I don't like it when I get violence fantasies because, you know, I've tried my whole life to overcome the idea that violence does anything except cause more violence. But son of a bitch, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? It's extremely difficult when representatives, what few we have left, ask questions in a White House press briefing, and you get this kind of garbage flopping out of the mouth of anybody, man, woman, old, young, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight. You know, frankly, I don't care who the White House spokesperson is. And I don't care if they're in the peak of health or dying of colon cancer. None of that matters. What matters, only one thing matters. If that person is standing there, yes, he or she has a job to defend this filthy, disgusting criminal administration. But to issue the little snot-ass remarks like Scott McClellan did, and now too much cappuccino Perino, with this arrogance that is just beyond belief. And this woman thinks, like the men before her, that she is immune from any consequences of what she's doing up there. Well, she is temporarily, but I'm hoping if I were a religious person or even had a belief in any kind of a supreme being or even had an inkling that prayer would work, I would be praying that all of these people eventually will have to face a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, is all I can think of, the South African model, where they would be forced to confess. And the deal would be, you know, confess your sins and crimes, you filthy pigs, and we'll let you off the hook. But you have to step out in public and confess what you did to this country. Now, my preference would be to see these sons of bitches go to prison, go to in front of an international criminal tribunal set up in The Hague. That would be my preference, but I think we're pretty much in agreement that's not going to happen. But if the American people ever get mobilized to the point where we've said, you know, or where we say, you know, this is we've had enough. We've had enough of this. Democrat or Republican, left or right, liberal, conservative, we've had enough. We've had enough of the lies and the BS. We're going to start by hauling every one of these pigs that have ruined this country in the past 7 years. We're going to haul all these pigs out in front of the American people. And they're going to be forced to testify. If you testify and tell the truth. Nothing will happen to you except you can take your shame and humiliation and go about your business. Go back to work for Wall Street or Carlyle Group or any other rapacious corporation you want to go to work for. And hopefully we'll have institutions in place to check that. But if you don't tell the truth, then we're going to use enhanced interrogation techniques on you. We're going to let you go for a little swim. We're going to make you think you are drowning. And some of you, just for the sheer hell of it, we may allow you to drown. Now it's your call, Bush crime family members. Let's start with the last mouthpiece. Miss Perino, front and center. Now tell us everything you've got to tell us about your stint as the White House mouthpiece. And don't forget, tell the truth, nothing happens. Lie, and we take you for a little swim. Oh, would that I could pray for something like that. William Blum, author of Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Intervention Since World War II, and Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower, has got the following statement out here. Al Babe sent it to me. I don't know where this comes from, but William Blum apparently is the author of it. It's very short. He says, if I were the president, I could stop terrorist attacks against the United States in a few days, permanently. I would first apologize to all the widows and orphans, the tortured and impoverished, and all the many millions of other victims of American imperialism. Then I would announce in all sincerity to every corner of the world that America's global interventions have come to an end, and I would inform Israel that it is no longer the 51st state of the United States, but now, oddly enough, a foreign country. I would then reduce the military budget by at least 90% and use the savings to pay reparations to the victims. There would be more than enough money. 1 year's military budget of $330 billion is equal to more than $18,000 an hour for every hour since Jesus Christ was born. That's what I'd do on the first 3 days in the White House. On the fourth day, I'd be assassinated. Claude emails in, Mike, I was listening to Radio France Internationale this weekend. Several journalists from the Middle East were being interviewed. They were explaining how difficult the situation had become with Turkey in particular. Indeed, just before the invasion in March of 2003, Raisin Brain's administration had supplied the Kurds in Iran, yes, Iran, with weapons to undermine the regime there. Now these weapons are being used against the Turks, and Turkey knows it. Imagine the kind of explanation Dr. Condi had to provide during her last trip to Ankara. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Get away from me.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's 10 before the hour. We will revisit this topic later on this evening, but I want to mention this tomorrow. This is from Dave Lindorf. Tomorrow, Election Day 2007, Dennis Kucinich plans to introduce a member's privilege motion calling for a floor vote to move his bill of impeachment against Cheney to the House Judiciary Committee, since there are some key members of Congress, Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, John Conyers, and Gerald Nadler, who are refusing to give Dennis's bill a hearing in the House Judiciary Committee. The bill was submitted by Kucinich back on April 24th, and it's been stalled ever since. And as Lindorf writes, Kucinich's impeachment bill against Cheney focuses on an issue that should be considered extremely urgent and timely by all members of Congress, and that would be Cheney's illegal and criminal effort to whip up a new war against Iran. Kucinich is being denied the right to have his important bill heard in the Judiciary Committee by Democrats. So he's turned to a House rule that allows a member to attempt to break out of such political limbo by a vote by the full House membership. Now, he's unlikely to win because Democratic leaders reportedly plan on having some shill stand up and make a motion to table the measure, which would effectively kill it. Democrats. Son of a bitch. So as Lindorf writes, it's critical then that everyone who believes in protecting the Constitution from criminals like Cheney and who want to stop the march to war in Iran contact their House member and demand that he or she vote against any move to table Kucinich's privilege motion. And you should also tell your representative that he or she should vote in support of moving Kucinich's bill to the hearing stage in the Judiciary Committee. That's all. Jesus, God, why is Pelosi and Nadler and Conyers, why are all these people protecting this murderous criminal, war criminal, son of a bitch in the White House? I don't get this. Oh, I know the usual explanations, but I don't get it on a gut level. Lindorf writes, Cheney has crossed the line into the area of treason by reportedly attempting, behind the back of the State Department, to encourage Israel to attack Iran's nuclear facilities in hopes of forcing Iran to retaliate and thus permit the U.S. to, quote, come to the aid, end quote, of its ally Israel and attack Iran. Now, there's some phone numbers for you. They're 800 numbers, so please, I hope you have something to write with. I'll give you two numbers. This was on the Common Dreams message board, and Jack sent this to me. Under the heading, make four calls to the Capitol switchboard and tell everyone you know to do the same. It says, please call the Capitol switchboard, I'll give you the numbers in a second, and ask to speak to your representative. Tell him or her to support Kucinich's resolution. It's H.R. 333. Just half of 666. At the very least, tell your representative not to let the House of Representatives table the motion. And then call again, then dial right back and tell Kucinich's office you support what he's doing. And then call twice more. I'm going to give you two 800 numbers here. Once to John Conyers, ask for Conyers, and then ask for Nancy Pelosi, and ask them to let the resolution come to a vote. So at least every member of the House will be on record about impeaching Cheney. Now, here are the numbers, and they're both 800 numbers. The first one is 862-5530. 862-5530. The second one is 828-0498. 828-0498. Let me give them again, and I'll give them later on the program. There are two numbers for the Capitol switchboard. If you would make four calls, doesn't cost you a damn thing. Take 5 minutes. First time you call, ask to speak to your representative and tell that person to support H.R. 333, Kucinich's Impeach Cheney Resolution. If they don't want to, then ask whoever you talk to, okay, well, then please don't vote to table it. Just let it go to a vote. For God's sake, just let it go to a vote. Then call again. And get Kucinich and or his office and tell him you support what he's doing. Tell his staffers, look, we support what Dennis is doing. And then call two more times, once to Conyers and once to Pelosi. And ask them to let this resolution come to a vote so that every member of the House who votes tomorrow will be on record about impeaching this warmongering, treasonous son of a bitch, Dick Cheney. That's all you have to do. Here are the numbers again. 800, they're both 800 numbers. 862-5530, 862-5530, or 828-0498, 828-0498. Oh, my God. There are 21 co-sponsors to Kucinich's impeachment resolution. 21 co-sponsors. And these people are truly American heroes. Tammy Baldwin, Yvette Clark, Steve Cohen, Sam Farr, Sheila Jackson Lee, Carolyn Kilpatrick, Jim McDermott, Donald Payne, Adolphus Towns, Diane Watson, Albert Russell Wynn, Robert Brady, William Lacey Clay, Keith Ellison, Bob Filner, Henry Hank Johnson Jr., Barbara Lee, James Moran, Janice Schakowsky, Maxine Waters, and Lynn Woolsey. Those are the people who have co-sponsored the resolution. You can get it if you want to see it. It's at the Library of Congress, House Resolution 333. It's 8 pages long when you print it off your computer like I did, and it is a damning indictment of what this this Nazi Dick Cheney has done. So please do this, okay? Tomorrow is Do Nothing Day, so you'll have time. 2-800 numbers, 862-5530 and 828-0498. And I'll go back over this a little bit later in the program. Stay with us. Break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back, about 77 past the hour. But a couple more things here, and we do have some more sound for you, so just hold off on your phone calls for a little while, if you don't mind. It's not just the Justice Department, now the top legal advisor within the State Department, who counsels Condoleezza Rice on what's legal and what isn't. Regarding international law, this guy, John Bellinger, has decided to, or has declined to rule out torture, waterboarding, even if it were applied by foreign intelligence services on U.S. citizens. Do you get this? The top legal advisor in the U.S. State Department, the person who provides legal advice to Condoleezza Rice on international law, has declined to rule out the use of the torture technique known as waterboarding, even if it were applied by foreign intelligence services on U.S. citizens. That's how much these sons of bitches care about you and me. They don't care about anything. John Bellinger refused to denounce the technique, which has been condemned by human rights groups. During a debate on the Bush administration's stance on international law, held by Guardian American, the Guardian of the UK, at the Guardian's U.S. website, he, John Bellinger, said he would not include or exclude any technique. He went on to say the inability of a senior U.S. official, that would be Bellinger, to rule out such an interrogation method, even in the case of it being used against Americans, underlines the legal knots in which the Bush crime family has tied itself. I added the Bush crime family. The Guardian goes on to say the dispute over alleged U.S. involvement in torture has threatened to derail the confirmation of Michael Mukasey as Bush's nominee for Attorney General. Mr. Mukasey, retired federal judge, faces a confirmation vote from the Senate Judiciary Committee tomorrow. That's another event for Tuesday. Huh? Tuesday's going to be a big day, huh? And he is facing opposition from Democratic members over his stance on waterboarding. In earlier hearings, Mr. McCasey said he found the method repugnant but refused to declare it illegal. Here it comes. There has been speculation that he refrained from declaring it illegal out of fear that if he did declare it illegal, it would expose U.S. interrogators as well as their chain of command, possibly up to the level of the president, to criminal prosecution. Yes, indeed, it would. So, you know, McCasey sits there like a trapped rat. He just looks like a hosed down ferret to me. He sits there, this mousy little man, who is going to make this determination. I don't know anything about waterboarding. I don't know if it's torture. Why it does? Oh, well, that's repugnant. But the whole reason he is there is to provide further cover for this criminal administration. Nancy Pelosi knows this. Harry Reid knows this. Every Democrat in the House or the Senate in a leadership position knows this. Every filthy, disgusting Republican knows this. They all know that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney are culpable for not only acts of treason against the United States, not only for violating their oath of office, but also for committing war crimes, for God's sake! But impeachment's off the table. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are co-conspirators. They're accessories after the fact of acts of treason and war crimes. What? Don't look at me like that, truth seekers. What would you call it? They know what's going on, and they won't do anything. They're accessories after the fact. Remember how we begged and begged for the votes to put the Democrats in a majority? Boy, do I feel like a dumbass at this point. Man or Monkey was with the Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan today. Yes, indeed. There they were. Turkey. Ready to invade Iraq. And Bush, you know, not Bush, but Condoleezza Rice and the rest of these thugs trying to convince the Turks not to invade. We don't want to do that. We've already done it. So a reporter asks about, I'm taking these out of order, Kathy. Yeah, this is, I'm going to take number 40 here. Reporter asks about a possible invasion of Iraq by Turkey to oust the PKK, the Kurdistan People's, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, whatever it's called. It's a group that has been around for a long time. It is labeled as a terrorist organization, obviously, by Bush and the Turks and the Iranians. But to the PKK, they are simply doing what any nationalist group does, trying to secure their homeland. Oh, isn't that become funny? Anyway, the reporter asked about a possible invasion of Iraq by Turkey to get rid of the PKK. The reporter says, Mr. President, what would be your reaction if there would be a Turkish operation into northern Iraq? Now, remember, he's asking this question in front of the Turkish Prime Minister and Chuckle Nuts.
First of all, I don't like to answer hypothetical questions. But I can tell you that he asked what would my reaction be if there's an attack. Well, that's a hypothetical question.
Yeah.
What we did talk about is to make sure that there is good enough intelligence so that we can help deal with a common problem. And that problem is a terrorist organization called PKK.
USA.
I've assured the Prime Minister that we're working very carefully and closely with people in the Kurdish part of Iraq to help deal with the movement of these people, to help locate and find and stop the leadership of the PKK from continuing doing what they're doing.
What is it they're doing, jackass? And you're going to locate and find. Wow. That's admirationable. To stop the leadership of the PKK from continuing doing what they're doing, which is a decades-long struggle to secure what they consider to be their own homeland. Oh, and retaining control of the oil fields in Kirkuk, which are the only oil fields that are producing oil revenue. And it's the oil fields that all sorts of companies, including American companies, are cutting deals now, much to the chagrin of the central government down in Baghdad. But he says, we're going to help locate and find them and stop them from continuing doing what they're doing. He's such a well-informed, learned, philosophical, and profound wartime decider, isn't he? Huh? He's right on top of things, isn't he? Beth in Portland writes in, on your show last Friday, Mike, you brought up the possibility of this criminal administration never relinquishing its power. I, too, have thought about this. I think of it every time I hear about yet another quiet atrocity that the Bush crime family has committed. The act of dismantling our Constitution almost pales in comparison to the realization that these effing freaks act as if they are never going to be out of power. Why illegally wiretap U.S. citizens, among other things, only to hand the operation over to a possible political adversary? It doesn't make sense. The events occurring today in Pakistan are an ominous warning. But is anyone listening in this country? Can anyone see the slow approach of the event horizon in time to stand up and take these pig bastards out of power? I am enraged with the Democrats in Congress and hope that those of us with our eyes open have the time to vote them out of office and regain true representation in government. That's from Beth in Portland. And you can tell from that email we're moving slowly closer to the events in Pakistan over the weekend. I do want to pay some attention to that. And I find out from an email from Prairie 2 that I wondered where John Negroponte had gone. Well, he spent the summer and fall in, wait for it, Pakistan. Isn't it interesting? Wherever Negroponte goes, there is death, chaos, torture, imprisonment, suspension of rights, murder, mayhem, filth, blood, brains splattered on the pavement, blown up vehicles, just utter chaos. It's incredible. So Negroponte, who was made temporary ambassador of a very short-lived ambassadorship to Iraq, during which time the death squads were set up, Negroponte, who advised repressive right-wing governments in Central America as death squads were set up, Negroponte, who has gone to Afghanistan while death squads were set up, Negroponte, who kind of fell off the radar scope there for a while, where is the demonic rat bastard? Oh, in Pakistan. Why would he be in Pakistan? Let's guess. To support the military dictator, Pervez Musharraf, and to help him set up, death squads? We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, this is, but wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Oh, yeah. So, regarding Negroponte, Prairie 2 writes in, "Hey, Mike, after summer and fall in Pakistan, John Negroponte has completed his list and checked it twice of all those who have been naughty and all those who have been nice. The nice go to prison. The naughty get foreign aid from the U.S. Treasury. Richard Boucher, Negroponte's henchman, has been busily meeting with, or rather summoning, the key figures in the civil society in that country to discuss the pending election, the one scheduled for January. Election commissioners, police officials, and the like, all the way down to the local level. Far below what is considered acceptable for a foreign official to be meeting with in any other country, save for a place like Iraq, which is under U.S. occupation. Negroponte himself showed up with the commander of CENTCOM in tow to meet with the so-called civil society representatives. He, Negroponte, then summoned leaders of various opposition parties to arm twist them into accepting General Musharraf's continued reign. Since this campaign started in early summer, so-called terrorist attacks and death squad hits have reached a fever pitch. Someone has also been murdering Chinese engineers, who have been regarded by everyone in Pakistan as the murders have been regarded by everyone in Pakistan as the work of foreign agents. Since the Chinese are extremely popular with all groups in Pakistan, with China being Pakistan's only ally against India. The Bush crime family is making it clear that Pakistan is a fiefdom of the U.S., and China had better pack up and leave. No word from China on this. Oh, by the way, in science news, a Chinese spacecraft is now orbiting the moon. What's the Chinese word for ICBM? I have no idea. But you understand what Prairie 2 is saying here. Chinese engineers being murdered by death squads, and it has to be foreign agents. I wonder who that could be. Let me think. Foreign agents in Pakistan. Could it be somebody hired by the U.S. government? Who would that be? DynCorp? Blackwater? Blackwater! You think? But wherever Negroponte goes, death, destruction, and terror float to the surface, just like Negroponte always floats to the surface, like something that won't flush down in your commode. And you stand there, flush, and go, damn it, go down. Police fired tear gas and clubbed thousands. Maybe you've seen some of this video over the weekend and today. It is so weird how people present themselves. In Pakistan, if you are a lawyer, you wear a black suit and a white shirt and a tie. If you are a super Orthodox Jew in New York, you wear the black outfit and the hat and you understand what I'm saying? If you're and these are not in and of themselves religious outfits, and I could go down the list. There are more like that. These are just, this identifies people. And if you've been watching television, you see all these Pakistan attorneys, for God's sake, not students, not dissident members of the military, but hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of black suit wearing attorneys. And what they are doing and how that's being responded to, we'll have when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Up today, I was crying, lost in a lost world. So many people are dying, lost in a won't be out in the morning too.
I believe that it's very important for people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
Yeah. So anyway, the attorneys the lawyers in Pakistan, in Islamabad today, police fired tear gas, clubbed thousands of lawyers protesting Pervez Musharraf's decision to impose what is euphemistically called emergency rule. The arrests so far, estimates are around 3,500. Now, as most of the world knows now, and you know this too, unless you've been in a cave or up in the North Georgia Mountains looking at the leaves on the weekend, Musharraf suspended the Constitution on Saturday, just ahead of a Supreme Court ruling that was going to decide whether his recent re-election as president was legal. Yeah, there's some question about it. So Musharraf did what any incipient dictator did. He got rid of the independent-minded judges. He put a stranglehold on independent media. And he assumed sweeping power and gave it to his underlings to crush dissent. As the Associated Press reports, under intense pressure from the U.S. and other Western allies to hold elections as scheduled in January, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Musharraf said today he would relinquish control of the military and return the country to, quote, the same track as we were moving on, end quote. But he gave no indication when that would happen. He said, he was quoted on state-run Pakistan television as telling foreign ambassadors today, quote, I'm determined to remove my uniform once we correct these pillars, the judiciary, the executive, and the parliament, end quote. Correct them, you see. He went on to say, quote, I can assure you there will be harmony. Confidence will come back into the government, into law enforcement agencies, and Pakistan will start moving again on the same track as we were moving, end quote. Whoa, really? Oh, well, why is everybody getting upset? Meanwhile, the shoe lady, this monumentally inept so-called Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, said Washington was reviewing its assistance to Pakistan. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, obviously it doesn't mean the city of Washington. It means the leadership is reviewing its assistance to Pakistan. What are they doing? Are they dragging out all the treaties? Are they looking at columns and numbers? Well, let's see. What did we give them back in March? Oh, let's see. $6 billion. Okay. Now, let me see. What else? Oh, we gave them a couple of jet fighters, didn't we? Yeah, okay. Well, the nuclear technology. Yeah, Is that what that means, or is that just a BS statement? I think it's just a BS statement, don't you? Since Musharraf put his support behind Bush about 2 years after Musharraf overthrew the government and seized control, and at the time of September 11th attacks on this country, since then, Musharraf has received, what, $12, $13 billion. Now, what is that money gone for? Well, the war on terror, Mike. What do you suppose? Really? Or has it gone for, as most of those kinds of grants to military dictators, I'm thinking of like the Shah of Iran, has it gone to enforce, let's see, what is it in Pakistan? In Iran, it was the SAVAK. In Pakistan, I believe it's the ISS. And the Pakistan military to make sure that when events occur like occurred over this past weekend, the Pakistan military is fully capable of crushing it. At a news conference on Monday, Secretary Condoleezza Rice, that was today, she was in the West Bank. What the hell is she doing there? Oh, that's right, trying to broker a peace deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Right, sorry, forgot. Anyway, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said at a news conference that she is urging Musharraf to follow through on past promises to, quote, take off his uniform, end quote. Boy, you take that out of context, and there's no telling what the hell that means. And she said that the following, quote, I want to be very clear. We believe that the best path for Pakistan is to quickly return to a constitutional path and then to hold elections. Yeah, that's what we think. That's what we believe. Musharraf's leadership, you see, is just about over. It has been severely threatened by the reemergence of Benazir Bhutto, former prime minister, and his political rival, whom Negroponte tried to have assassinated about a month ago. Remember that? And Musharraf is dealing with an increasingly defiant Supreme Court. Imagine that, a Supreme Court that defies the leader rather than supports him. How odd. And then with this crackdown, as the Associated Press reports, Musharraf also moved quickly to control the media, which he said was to blame for the current crisis, partly to blame. Ah, the media. Why, of course. Police raided and briefly sealed a printing press belonging to Pakistan's largest media group on Monday. Today, they also tried to storm a press club in Karachi. Broadcasts by independent news networks remained blocked, and domestic transmissions of the BBC and CNN were off the air. And in the capital, Islamabad, hundreds of police and paramilitary troops lined roads and rolled out barbed wire barricades to seal off the Supreme Court. Woo! Now, can you imagine how Bush and Cheney are watching all this and just getting excited? Meanwhile, Bush says he gains influence with world leaders, of course, by building personal relations with them. And what was it, last fall, Bush hailed Musharraf as a friend and a voice of moderation. Bush said on that day, quote, "The president is a strong defender of freedom and the people of Pakistan," end quote. Really? Well, this advocate of freedom certainly changed his image over the weekend. A military dictator willing to crush the rights of his own people. Ooh. But we're back to the trifecta word. By releasing this police state on his own people, Musharraf has put in motion a trifecta of trouble for the Bush crime family. Think about this. A nuclear-armed Pakistan lurching further into instability. Civil rights and parliamentary elections shoved aside. And the credibility of a Bush-backed leader taking an enormous hit in world politics. Not that Bush or Cheney or any of these people give a damn. They couldn't care less. Who said it? A.E. sent me an email. In a BBC interview today, John Bolton said democracy is not as important as social stability and compared Musharraf to Joseph Stalin favorably. Bolton pointed out the United States supported Stalin during World War II. Bolton said it's important to continue supporting Musharraf. Jesus Christ, I can't get over this, huh? I wonder if I'll laugh like this, Kathy, when I'm being waterboarded. Musharraf, in a televised interview on Saturday night, cited the danger to the country posed by extremists and said only emergency rule could solve it. Isn't it funny that the people being arrested are not extremists? They're people who are demanding constitutional rule. Damn. So, again, what Musharraf did in order to counteract this threat posed by extremists, he suspended the Constitution, he fired judges on the Supreme Court, he closed the transmission of privately owned television news channels, he curbed the broadcasts of international broadcasters, and the elections scheduled for next January, parliamentary elections, are going to be delayed for maybe as long as 2 or 3 years. Meanwhile, the lawyers demonstrating outside Islamabad's main court complex today. The lawyers shouted, "Musharraf dog," and "a baton and a bullet will not do." And they're not talking about conductors there, are they? It's pretty astonishing. Now, all of this is making Bush's deal with Musharraf, as we mentioned earlier, look more and more like the one several U.S. presidents made with the Shah of Iran, right? Starting with who was first? Eisenhower? I think it was Eisenhower. Going all the way back to Eisenhower, when they when the CIA overthrew the duly elected leaders of Iran and put the Shah in. So it was Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson, and Nixon and Ford and Carter and Reagan. And then, of course, the Shah died of cancer. All those U.S. presidents who made a deal with the devil, the Shah of Iran and the Savak. And, of course, that opened up the 1979 revolution, which brought to power the current government of Iran. And here we have the same situation, another military dictator, this one not brought to power by the CIA, as far as we know, but brought to power when he overthrew, Musharraf overthrew, an elected government. Oh, but Mike, that government was corrupt. Oh, okay, it was corrupt. So maybe the people of Pakistan should have done something about it short of a military overthrow. Oh, never mind. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
So, at 10 before the hour, look what happens now when a madman, that would be Bush, and his little devils, that would be the Bush crime family, destabilize an already just murderously neurotic part of the world like the Middle East. For their oily whims, Iraq falls into chaos. A Kurdish nationalist group like the PKK threatens Turkey. Turkey strikes back across the Iraqi border. Pakistan's dictator gets all tough and anti-democratic, struts around his military uniform, and refuses to hold elections. Isn't fascism a hoot? So today, after meeting with Mr. Erdogan about Turkey's insurgency into Iraq, the giggling killer took some questions from the press, which focused on the state of emergency in Pakistan and Turkey's probable invasion of Iraq. You know, this reporter says, Mr. President, it was just last week that you said again that your administration stands with people who yearn for liberty. How does that square with continuing to partner with Pakistan, given what's going on now, and given that President Musharraf has gone back on promises before?
As I said earlier in my statement, that we made it clear to the President that we would hope he wouldn't have declared the emergency powers he declared.
You hope?
Now that he's made that decision, our hope now is that he hurry back to elections. And at the same time, we want to continue working with him to fight these terrorists and extremists who not only have tried to kill him, but have used parts of his country from which to launch attacks into Afghanistan and or are plotting attacks on America.
Oh, my God. Oh, now that he's made the decision to declare, if not martial law, a state of emergency, Bush hopes that he will, excuse me, hurry back to elections. It usually doesn't work that way, chuckle nuts. Once a leader has declared a state of emergency and decided to end the Supreme Court, suspend phony little-ass constitutional guarantees, and start beating, imprisoning, and torturing people, they usually don't come back to elections, George! Really? That doesn't happen. And he says at the same time we want to continue working with him to fight these terrorists and extremists. The lawyers? The Supreme Court judges? Benazir Bhutto? Ah, okay. Now, after all of that, let's go back to Too Much Cappuccino Perino. Lava Lips issued the official White House spin on the Pakistan crisis. Reporter says to her today, Dana, the president said last week at the Heritage Foundation that we are standing with those who yearn for liberty. Aren't we in the position now in Pakistan where we are supporting a government that is, cracking down on liberty?
The government of the United States is deeply disturbed by the proclamation of emergency in Pakistan on November 3rd, about 48 hours ago. We cannot support emergency rule or the extreme measures that are being taken by President Musharraf. Such actions are not in Pakistan's best interest, and President Musharraf had taken Pakistan pretty far along the path to democracy. This is definitely a setback. We are currently reviewing our aid. The president has been following this issue very closely. Pakistan is a strong fighter against terrorists, and we have to keep that in mind as we move forward. But our aid package is currently being reviewed, and the president will also call on President Musharraf to take off the uniform, as he said he would do.
Why do all these people want to see him naked? I don't get this. The Condi wants to see him naked. Bush wants to see him naked. Apparently Perino does. This is the same thing they did to Clinton. They wanted Clinton to present his penis in a courtroom during the what trial was that? Paula Jones. Yeah, they wanted to see Bill Clinton drop his trousers in a courtroom so they could all the Republicans could stand up and examine his penis. And you remember Paula said it was different. It had marks on it. It looked like somebody had signed their name on it, maybe. I don't know. But it was strange looking. So all the Republicans wanted to see Bill's penis. That's why they're insane. They never got a chance to see Bill's penis. Well, apparently they want to see Musharraf something. They keep saying he's got to take off his uniform. Oh, my God. The president has been following this issue very closely. What does that mean? Condoleezza sent somebody back to the U.S. to pull out a great big colorful map to show Bush where it was and everything? Huh? Yeah, yeah. Is this the last one? God, I hope this is the last one. We got time for this? All right. So another reporter wants to know why it's okay for Bush to be such a hypocrite when it comes to democracy. Reporter says, is it ever reasonable to restrict constitutional freedoms, Dana, in the name of fighting terrorism? Oh, come on. We did it here. I think it's a question that a lot of American people are wondering, Dana, this concept of doing business because of the war on terror, the regime that doesn't embrace democratic ideals, is that acceptable to this administration?
The stated goal of President Musharraf and the people of Pakistan is that they want to get back to back on the path to democracy. We want to see them return to that path as quickly as possible.
Yes, we do. In terms of what happens.
In terms of what happens in the future, I can't say from here.
I can't.
But
I can't.
Obviously, we have. It's a complex situation.
It is.
We have terrorists that we are trying to fight in that northern region that
yes,
we've been supported in, by President Musharraf in doing so. That has helped protect the American people as well as our allies around the world. It's helped protect Pakistanis. But we cannot accept these extra constitutional measures. And so it's something that has
we have to work through.
We're calling on them to immediately end the press prohibitions, to release the detainees, and to take several actions to get back to the democratic path,
and
to hold, announcing he's going to hold free and fair elections in January, and that he will take off his uniform.
Jesus, they did it again! Why the stripping is so necessary escapes me, unless it's one of Cheney's odd requests. We want to see it. We want to see it in the courtroom. We want to see it wink at us. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. guess it is time to take some phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480 if you would like to get online. Last comment for tonight on this Pakistan thing. Since the attack on this country by Saudis, if you believe the official story, the U.S. government has given over $10 billion to Pakistan to in order to buy Musharraf's support for our so-called war on terror, which is not a war on terror at all, but that's what it's being called. Now, the $10 billion, the only thing it's done has strengthened Musharraf's stranglehold on that country and strengthened the army of Pakistan, which is not interested in going out into their badlands to look for renegade Muslims to kill. They are just not interested because they know their asses will be killed if they try it. All this money, and Musharraf has done practically nothing for the people of Pakistan. They have been demanding a return to democracy and free and fair elections. The Bush crime family's response to what amounts to Musharraf's second coup against his own people shows that when it comes to the crunch, rather than a commitment to democracy, the U.S., that's us, we, the Bush crime family, has again chosen to go the route of fascism because it is so much easier to deal with. Every time the Bush crime family talks about free and fair elections, you know they're lying. Because every time free and fair elections are held, whether they're in the occupied territories of Palestine, no matter where the free and fair elections are held, if the Bush crime family doesn't like the results, they just bring the hammer down again. Yeah, this is maddening. This is insane. But it continues to happen, and we've got serious business here in the United States to attend to. The Christmas shopping season is upon us, and there will be an attempt again by the liberal God killers in this country to start calling Christmas the holiday season. We have to be on guard against that. There will be attempts to remove manger scenes from the public square and the schools. We've got to be on guard against that. So we have important business to attend to here. We, you know, my God, when's Thanksgiving, Kathy? In 3 weeks, three short weeks, when we celebrate the murder and genocide against the people who used to call this country home and eat great amounts of carbo-loaded junk and crap in order to celebrate death to the Native Americans. And then, of course, it's the celebration of the birth of the little baby Jesus, which means going out and buying all kinds of garbage and crap from China that we then give to our overweight, brain-dead children. Well, not mine or yours. You know what I'm talking about. So we have important things to do. We cannot be thinking about... Let Negroponte handle this. He's very good. He almost got Bhutto. Negroponte is a class act. He is one of the most efficient killers in the history of killers, I guess. Only he never leaves fingerprints. He goes into foreign countries, helps them set up death squads, explains to them who the U.S. wants to see dead and out of the way, or out of the way, either locked up, dead, tortured, whatever. And then he slips out. He's like a haint. He's a ghost. He's a killer from hell. John Negroponte. Well, let's see what you have to say. Do you want to do that? Okay. Let's start with Hiwa, who is listening in Alabama on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hiwa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you call Pervez Musharraf when he restores democracy, call him a born-again president.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, but the main reason I call is the double standard regarding Kurdish people. I'm Kurdish from Kurdistan of Iraq.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be it's okay for us to have freedom and fight against Saddam, but for the PKK, they cannot fight against the Turkish regime, which is 10 times worse than Saddam. At least during Saddam, they acknowledge there's Kurdish people living in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, there's over 20 million Kurdish living in Turkey. They don't even acknowledge that there's Kurdish people in Turkey.
Right.
There's a local joke there. They say these SOBs, they probably killed so many Kurdish, they think they killed us all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why and this terrorist act that they call PKK a terrorist, it's been proven time and time again that the Turkish government, the Mossad themselves, they've done terrorist acts, and they blamed it on the PKK.
Go ahead, Hiwa.
Yeah. And what is astonishing to me, they have like several thousand in an island in Greek Cyprus. They're willing, they occupy the whole island for several thousand of Turks.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Kurdish people, the whole world, pretty much West, you know, they always, when it comes to Turkey, they have a different standard. I don't understand that. These so-called PKKs, they hit Iran same time when they killed those 17 soldiers of Turkey. Everybody is okay with that.
Right.
Which I'm okay with it because to me, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, these are all enemies of Kurdish people.
Right.
They're, to me, neither of them are good guys as far as. But in that region, we are, the Kurdish in Iraq, we are really the only allies the U.S. has left other than Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey never let the U.S. Troops go into their land to go fight Saddam, which is one of the worst dictators in that region.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What, Hiwa, what, in a sensible frame, a sensible world, what would the Kurdish people, like yourself, want from the United States right now?
Well, what I want the United States, I'm a citizen, you know. We always, now I talk like an American. We always claim that we are for democracy, for people's right to choose how to live. You know, in Turkey, in Denmark, in France, in the United States, there's Kurdish school that kids can learn Kurdish. In Turkey, where there's 20 million people, there's not one Kurdish school. Only one from the United States, as a leader of the world, to tell the Turkish government, instead of calling PKK what they were for the Kurdish people, terrorists, tell the Turkish government, you know, stop doing terrorist acts on Kurdish people. They have a 90% of their army in Kurdistan of Turkey right now, and they're not planting seeds for corn and wheat. They're just terrorizing the people over there. That's only one from the United States. We always backed the United States on every war they had in that region. But when it comes to Turkey, it seems like always they turn around and they work against the Kurdish people, which is very sad as far as I'm concerned, because to me, that hurts me a lot, because as a Kurd and as a U.S. citizen, that is really, it's like I just don't know how to feel when President Bush stands up with that dictator, with that murderer in White House, and acts like he's a nice guy and president of a democracy, while calling the PKK a terrorist organization.
Well, now, I would imagine it's the same way that Iranian people felt when a number of U.S. presidents stood with the Shah. Or, I mean, we can go right down the list. This is nothing new, Hiwa, where an American president stands shoulder to shoulder with a leader, whether he's a military dictator or, as in the case of the Turks, elected, that is involved in suppression and repression and murder and labeling people who want their freedom as terrorists. So it's really nothing new. Let me ask you this, though. It's my understanding that the Kurdish people, for a very, very long time, have wanted to have a reasonable, logical homeland called Kurdistan, not Kurdistan in Iran or in Turkey or in Iraq, but Kurdistan, a sovereign nation.
Is that
still the goal of Kurdish people, even Kurdish people who have taken citizenship in other countries like you have? Is that I'm thinking about Kurdish people in Norway, in England, in Italy. Is it the goal of Kurdish people to have a Kurdistan?
It is the goal of every Kurdish or every human being to have their own homeland. There's about 40 million. We are the largest minority in the world right now. The only, actually, largest minority in the world that we don't have our own country. And to be, Mike, other than the Turkish government, because they are in cahoots with the White House right now, there is no proof anywhere in the world that Kurdish people has ever done any kind of terrorism, despite all these four regimes. Now, if we lived in a country that they were nice to us, we probably would, just like the French live in Canada, we probably would live with these people and coexist, and we wouldn't even think about a country. But these people, like in Turkey and in Iran, and everybody knows what happened with Saddam. They used chemical weapon on us. They used genocide. They used genocide in 1915 on Armenians and the Kurdish people in Turkey. To date, they have not even acknowledged what they did. They have not even apologized once that what they did was genocide. I mean, these are not even human beings that we live with. If they were like humans, they were for democracy, they were for human rights, we would probably live with them and we say, okay, that's fine. We don't want Kurdistan. At least you treat us like human beings.
I hear you. Hiwa, we're out of time for this segment. I hope you will stay in touch. I'd like to hear from you again, okay? Take care, Hiwa. I appreciate you checking in.
As long as you pray and salute the flag and fall to a knee for a Jesus who looks just like you. And it's another beautiful day. It's He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's 23 past the hour. Hated to cut Hiwa off there, that phone call, but you know how it is in radio. The clock rules. It's got to be hell, doesn't it, to accept citizenship in a country that... Okay, provides you, a place to be, a place to make a living, a place to raise your family, but it's not your place. And you have to accept. I have Palestinian friends who obviously do not have, they can't travel on a Palestinian passport because such a thing doesn't exist. They travel on a Lebanese passport, perhaps, or Syrian passport, but they, some of them even... travel on Israeli passport, but nothing that identifies them nationalistically as Palestinian. Culturally, yes. Genetically, yes. Socially, yes. Religiously, yes. Tribally, yes. But it, as Hiwa pointed out, to be a member of a ethnic I guess that's the right word, group like the Kurds, the largest group on earth that is homeless. Without a homeland. Never stops, does it? I promised we would say this one more time, and I want to get it said before we're out of time here. You're being asked by a number of people who still believe that there's a chance to pull this government out of the hellhole it's sinking into. There's still a chance to do that. Dennis Kucinich's resolution, H.R. 333, will be introduced, at least an attempt will be made, to bring it to a floor vote tomorrow. because Kucinich has been denied by the House leadership a chance to take it to the Judiciary Committee, where it would get a normal, natural constitutional hearing. The articles of impeachment against this rat bastard Cheney. So Kucinich is using one of the rules of the House. He wants to introduce a member's privilege motion that calls for a floor vote to move his bill of impeachment against Cheney into the Judiciary Committee. Now, of course, the chances of this happening at this point are fairly remote, but the least we can do is have, you know, the Republicans are always calling for an up or down vote on this. Let's have an up or down vote on this. Let's find out how many Democrats. We know that all Republicans will vote against this because Republicans are scum. But let's find out how many Democrats are also scum. I mean, we pretty well know who they are, but let's have a vote. It's been reported that Nancy Pelosi is going to get one of her robots, one of her Democratic Party puppets, to enter a motion to table this resolution, which will effectively end it. And you're being asked to make a couple of phone calls tomorrow, four to be exact. Here are the numbers. They're both 800 numbers, 862-5530 or 828-0498. Again, it's 862-5530 or 828-0498, both 800 prefixes. And that's the Capitol switchboard. Ask to speak to your representative. Tell your representative to support Kucinich's resolution, which is H.R. 333. At the very least, tell them not to let the House table the motion. And then your second call Kucinich's office and support, telling you support what he's doing, or tell a staff member. And then call twice more, the same 800 numbers as I just gave you, one to Conyers and one to Pelosi, and ask them to let that resolution come to a vote. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk.
I can look you in the eye and tell you, I feel I've tried to solve the problem diplomatically to the max and would have committed troops both in Afghanistan and Iraq knowing what I know today.
Out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Ho, 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 ho.
25 before the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls. And Dave is calling from Buffalo, New York, listening on Sirius Satellite
Radio.
Hello, Mike. Hey, Dave.
Hey, not that any group of people needs my affirmation, but the Kurds that I know are family-oriented, hardworking, loving, caring people. And they would like their own community, but I don't know if they'll be able to peel their fingers from the oil wells, because it does give them value, gives them the ability to be a community, have wealth. But they are running their area without incident, and we could actually travel there without too much concern, without hardly any concern right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that dictates what that gentleman was talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And with the Pakistan item, I see that now that we know the code words for lawyers and peacemakers and people who want democracy, the code word or the glossary is Al-Qaeda. So that doesn't sound very well. I mean, these people, we have to return it to the rule of law. I thought those people were part of the rule of law. Now how did they all of a sudden become the incident of not wanting the rule of law, you know, and that's kind of a treacherous thing to be heading down.
Well, it is just more of the smoke and mirrors and lies of the Bush crime family and anyone with whom they associate. To say that your Supreme Court and your lawyer class are together trying to overthrow the government and have become terrorists is not just the height of absurdity. It
damages the Bush regime.
Well, it's also insane. It's just murderously insane. Here you have a military dictator, Pervez Musharraf, who overthrew an elected government and established himself back in 1999. Here we are 8 years later, and this rat bastard has the temerity, with Negroponte's advice and assistance, to declare that people who are seeking constitutional rule are the terrorists. And you see, we have now a global boogeyman for any regime that wants to institute or maintain military rule or fascism. All they have to do is say, we're doing this, just like Musharraf said today, we're doing this in order to stymie the terrorists. This is what Bush says, as the constitutional guarantees in this country are brutalized and removed. This is what Musharraf says. This is what the Israelis say. This is what the British say. This is what the French are now saying. Every single government that wants to take a crack at fascism is saying this, because it means, well, you know, democracy is messy and we don't have time. So we want fascism. We want dictatorship.
Right. How does their Supreme Court offer that sense of instability? I would I realize that, well, the instability becomes through what you say on the fascist end, because of the fact that they don't have the say, they don't have the rule, and anything that takes away from them saying go get them is part of their democracy, their fascism, and it interferes with that. And I have one thing to comment to make about what I see. If history repeats itself, and this is politically speaking now, because I need to preface this with this, and politically speaking, life repeats itself, politics repeats itself, and the original government, Germany, instituted the homeland for a government, the first community that said that. And if history repeats itself, the first government that did that died a horrible death.
Well, yeah.
And I only can hope that for what value has, that the Bush administration and all their cronies, it's the end of what this tyranny is. I believe that we have turned the corner and that we are moving forward.
Well, I hope you're right, Dave. I still don't feel that we've turned a corner at all in this country. I feel that I thought we did during the elections of last year, but what I see is complicity, enabling, codependency, whatever you want to call it, by the Democratic Party leadership where it concerns this psychopath in the White House and Bush. Two psychopaths. So I don't know. I wish I shared your optimism, Dave. Michael is calling from the Bronx, listening on the internet. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, buddy?
It's going all right. How about you?
I'm trying to hang in there. You know, when I was listening to you talking about the fascism and Bush's BS statements about trying to restore democracy. You know, when the hell did that chuckle nuts ever know anything about democracy? When did he ever know about cooperating and working with people? And the answer is never. And we know that from the record here in the U.S. You remember when he vowed to work with the Congress after he lost control in last year's election. And then what we see here is he's still trying to overtake Congress with these ridiculous vetoes. He still calls himself the decider, and now he has this fancy of being king and ruler of the world and wants to be a fascist to all the other nations. And that's the first concern. The second concern, Mike, is that I don't know if you're aware of Bush's attorney general nominee, Mike Mukasey.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're going to love this one. Mr. Mukasey, and why Bush is so adamant in getting this nominee confirmed. Mukasey is an old friend of President potential GOP presidential candidate, Rudy Giuliani. So I see a click here in which if Mukasey was to become attorney general, these guys, these bastards may try to hijack the 08 election, and we already know that Bush is endorsing Giuliani. He wants Giuliani to become the next president. We're going to have, in a way, a third term of Bush fascism, while at the same time resurrect the Giuliani time. And anybody that's listening that is from New York City or has been in New York City while Rudy Giuliani was mayor, they would know that Giuliani and Bush are exactly alike, with the exception that Giuliani isn't stupid like Bush is.
Well, not only that, Michael, Giuliani, from everything I've read, is much more of a fascist than Chuckle Nuts could ever be. And Giuliani makes no bones about it. He is just a straight ahead political fascist. He he doesn't subscribe to some of the idiocy of the religious right. But he's still, a full-blown neo-Nazi. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate you checking in. Matt is calling from Oklahoma, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Also, hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just working right now. I was going to ask you for some advice, actually.
No, you're coming to the wrong person for advice, Matt, but go ahead. Let her run.
Well, I'll see if you can give it a try.
Sure.
I'm a recently converted liberal. I used to think I was a conservative because my family is and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been arguing with my family, with my mom mostly, about the children's health care, and I don't know where you stand on that bill and all that. But I was trying to argue with her, and I know there was a Giuliani ad the other day talking about how when he had his cancer, he had a so much higher percentage survival rate, because he lives in America rather than somewhere with
right
socialized health care.
Right. And it turned out to be a total lie.
Did it?
Yeah. I forget what, whether it was New York Times or an advocacy group. Giuliani said that his survival rate from prostate cancer was 80% because he lived in the United States. And it would have been half that if he lived in where there was socialized medicine like Canada,
right,
or the U.K., and the facts are the survival rates when prostate cancer is caught at the stage that Giuliani's was is just about equal. The survival rates. Here's the difference. In countries with single payer health care, you have screening available to you at no cost or at a very nominal cost. In this country, that's not the case. So
that's what I was thinking. Maybe they have more preventative.
Right, there you go.
Stuff, so.
You know, had Giuliani had to take the course that 47 million Americans have to take, not all of them are men, not all of them obviously are going to deal with the possibility of prostate cancer, but had Giuliani had to follow the same course that 47 million Americans do, Matt, who don't have health insurance, he could be a dead man right now. So his statement was disingenuous to begin with. It was arrogant, and it was absolutely incorrect. Matt, thanks. I appreciate it. Got to move on. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, pal.
Stay in Crawford. Tell them your dreams. Sit down, shut up, and take it. Or get out the vote, and your price depends. You might have a chance to make it if W goes home. When W goes home, so glad. The worst president we ever had. He's a damn shame, a big liar. He plays like he's Jesus
like 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program at KPHX, our flagship station in Phoenix, also handled your phone calls. Billy Foster, who, among other things, is our chat room moderator at novemradio.com. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody for the program tonight. We, as usual, appreciate it. And when we're waterboarded, we'll name all of you. Byron is calling from Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Byron, haven't heard from you in a coon's age. How you doing?
Hey, my friend. How's it going?
It's going.
I hear you. You know, what have we been listening to you for, what, 22, 23 years? How many presidents have we been through here? Reagan and Bush.
And Clinton.
Clinton.
And Bush.
And Bush.
And probably Clinton again.
I just think it's about time we had a Democratic president.
I would think.
You know, I'm just so damn sick and tired of being so damn sick and tired.
I hear you, Byron.
You know, these you've mentioned so many things tonight. I don't want to take up all your time and let you go home. I just feel like a fool. I just feel like a fool. I feel like one of the Music Man's trombones. I've been played. I just don't feel like I need to be played anymore.
Oh man, I'm singing in the same choir, Byron. I know. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of doing what I can to bust my ass to get Democrats elected, and then when the Democrats get elected, they turn out to be Republicans.
Well, they promised us and promised us and promised us they were going to do something. They were going to impeach this bastard. They were going to do something. And the minute they got, a couple of weeks ago, I heard you say, you know, you were so happy to see Pelosi take that gavel. I was, too. I was sitting there delivering a load, and I was listening to it on the C-SPAN, and I was just so filled with joy, you know. And then
she
just turned out to be a real...
Republican.
Yeah.
Republican, you know? Light, but still a Republican. It's just driving me crazy. We have, there's no question here, Byron. You know it. I know it. Most people can still know it. We have the most criminal administration. This is not an exaggeration. We have the most criminal, unconstitutional, illegal, law-breaking administration truly in the history of this republic. And remember what they impeached Bill Clinton for. Oh, my God!
Oh, jeez. You know, the Republicans can't win an election. They have to steal. They have to steal elections. They can't. What is it, 25%? As Randy said today, something like 25% of people actually claim to be Republicans.
That's about it.
I think I'm going to change my affiliation. When I get back home, I think I'm going to just change my affiliation to independent. I'm so tired of them. I could just spit. You know, the thing that we don't think about is that no matter what we do, even if we get a Democratic president in there, they've got the Supreme Court. So, I mean, you know, who trumps the other? Does the Supreme Court trump the Congress, or does Congress
the
Supreme Court?
Not really. I mean, they all, the whole purpose, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, the whole purpose was to set up checks and balances so no one branch of government could raise the kind of hell that the Bush crime family has raised. And since there are three of them, two branches of government can always gang up on the third branch. If the president wanted something and Congress agreed and passed a law and the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional, the Congress can come right back and get a constitutional amendment for the very same law, and then you can't declare parts of the Constitution unconstitutional. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, the checks and balances that were put in there fully recognize that any two branches of the government could gang up on the third branch and kind of nullify it. But as long as three branches are working independently to try to maintain the kind of democratic republic that these framers tried to hand off to us, as long as all three branches work honestly and diligently, we've got a shot. at self-government. It's worked sometimes poorly, but it has worked for 232 years. It's chugged forward. Progress has been made, still have a ways to go, and then the Bush administration comes in here and starts ripping everything to pieces. So,
well, these rat bastards have made everything so bad, I just don't think that you or I will see in our lifetime the fix.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, I hope my son Stephen doesn't have to live through this.
I hear you loud.
Anyway, good night, my friend.
All right, thanks, Byron. Don't be a stranger. Right. Call in once in a while. Take care, pal. Steve is calling from Elk Grove, California, listening on KSAC. Hey, Steve.
Oh, okay, fine. Let's see. I happen to be a special federal prosecutor. I've been since August of 72. And I'm not sure that any law really controls our ability to go into the courts and get the Supreme Court and the other courts to make changes. And the real issue is fraud, perjury, and deception on the federal courts, like what happened in Watergate.
Right.
And my appointment is indistinguishable from that Archibald Cox received. But there's no statute and there's no constitutional provision that limits what I can do in the federal courts. In fact, it's sort of like I have a green light to go in there because I've been involved in some treason disclosures.
Hey, Steve, we're flat out of time.
I understand that.
And I desperately want to hear, and my audience would like to hear what you got to say. So
sure,
I'm going to ask you if you can call in tomorrow evening.
Sure.
You know, we're on for 3 hours.
Fine, so, I'll call in the first thing at 6 if you want.
Please do, because I'd love to just pick it up and
we'll just go from there.
Listen to what you have to say. Thanks, Steve.
That sounds great. Okay.
All right, sir. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
And thanks, everybody, for participating tonight. Thanks for hanging out. We'll get through this. We'll get through it. Don't worry. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.